Good morning.
It was quite a weekend. Mike Callahan from marketing was sitting in with us this weekend. We had a little fun. He sat in because our branches are closed now, and so he sat in, and we kind of during the weekend did some tutorials on how folks could sign up if they maybe weren't familiar with the online side of Capital OTB. But all of that said, after the weekend, I am on hiatus until further notice. So Brian and Dino are down manning the station and keeping things going with the limited product. But unfortunately, I won't be on for the foreseeable future. But I am now going to use this opportunity to fire up the Twitter feed and get into that side of things a little more.
This is going to be just a rare treat for the public. I mean, horsey Twitter is about to they better brace for what could be a seismic shift, Seth. This is quite something.
I'm looking to break Twitter. I'm looking to do a Kardashian.
I can't imagine what that might entail coming from you, but I don't even want to think about it. Is there any audio of you and Taylor Swift that you might drop? That might create a stir.
Well, people will have to stay tuned.
that was quite the I tell you, this internet, it's you do have to appreciate, actually. I mean, I think it was Andy. Andy has said in writing, and he also said it yesterday on air, you know, this kind of a situation is going to bring out the best and the worst in people. But the humor, thank God, because there are things that are so funny that you really lift the spirits. And you know, it depends on what kind of humor you seek. But I've been very impressed, and I think all of us are kind of thumbing through this stuff constantly and looking for any distraction. And I have found myself amused, thank goodness, more often than I've been disheartened. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, hopefully social media during this time is more positive than negative. But being the nature of social media, I may be asking too much. But you're right. You read some of the things on social media and you realize average Joes are just as funny as the paid comedians a lot of times. I mean, you sit back and think, oh, that guy just nailed it. It is kind of funny.
I have followed, and there's been, I don't even know what triggered it, but I would say, even before this started, I don't know what triggered it. But I found a young woman who's either a stand-up comedian or I think she's a writer. I think she's a comedy writer in Hollywood. And I stumbled across something and I can't remember now what it was. And I'd have to go look through my list and find her. So smart and funny and clever on a regular basis. And then by virtue of her, have found like another six, and they're all young writers, and some have more of a serious journalist bent than others, but I've been endlessly amused, and I want to thank all of you that that are out there trying to lighten everybody's mood.
Yeah, because it's certainly a time where, I will say, for lack of a better word, hearing Hammer before was kind of poignant. He's saying, man, tough time. I'm getting home to the family. That was, as I say, a kind of poignant segment. I don't think it was meant to be, and maybe that's not the right word, but it kind of struck me. Good for him getting home and wants to get back home and see the family. So, and I think I don't think he's alone.
No. And what's the status of, I asked you last week, the extended Mero clan, everybody safe, everybody okay?
Yeah, at this point, my sister down in Arkansas is out in the woods, and her one of her sons and grandkids are down in Fayetteville. And I think it was yesterday, one of the grandkids had a 13-year-old birthday, so it's kind of a big birthday. But yeah, they're doing the same kind of social distancing, and you can't get in crowds that you're doing everywhere else. And so I haven't seen the video yet, but as I understand it, 25 cars of friends drove by with banners and raucous, waving out the car windows. So people are kind of changing things up. Now I have another couple of nephews who are out in L.A., so the latest I heard, they're doing fine too, but things are really on the lockdown out there. So just kind of trying to keep in touch and keep up with what they're doing. But yeah, so far so good for everybody for the most part.
What are they going to do about your nephew for his bar mitzvah?
I that's a good question.
I think it'll be okay. The fact that you talk about California being locked down, but yet here we are running Santa Anita, running Golden Gate. Oaklawn is going to soldier on, and I talked to Chris Katulak earlier about Foner, and of course also at Will Rogers. So I mean, we've got eight venues when you add in the quarter horse tracks, Los Al and Remington. Are you as surprised as I am? I'm marveling at how this is being pulled off.
I thought by the end of last weekend, the way things were looking just in society at large, that probably horse racing was on borrowed time. And so I thought by the end of last weekend, things would kind of button up. I have mixed feelings, but overall, I kind of applaud the tracks for keeping going. Mm-hmm. And they keeps people adjust. My feeling on this, not to be grim and a doomsayer, but I think that the economic fallout, it may wind up being worse than the disease itself. And I'm neither an epidemiologist nor a statistician nor an economist, but I've been reading a lot over the past couple of weeks, and so I just think with the wide swath of people out of work, and don't forget there's no sales tax or much less sales tax. There will be much less personal income tax. And so we look to government to kind of pad us through, but they're going to start looking to situations where they're not going to have enough money. And so if there's a business out there that kind of can safely keep going, I have to kind of look at that as a good thing. As I say, I have mixed thoughts about it, but at this point, and I know, as I say, I was in doing TV this past weekend and we had some emails and we had some text messages that people really appreciated that we were still out there doing it and the tracks were going because it provided a distraction. I mean, if you're at home all day long, I said last week, you can only binge Netflix so much and you can only, and I would advise people, limit the time you watch the news networks because that can start to get depressing. But horse racing offered people an opportunity, a little entertainment, a little distraction. We tried the last week when we were in, give them a few laughs too, but, I'm with you. Last weekend, I thought it's going to be tough for some of these venues to keep pushing through, but they've managed.
Take a minute and I'll ask you the question of the week. Came up yesterday. I had Jeremy, and we talked about night school and the tremendous resource that the treasure trove of audio files offers for people that want to learn about horseplay and all the different arenas that we covered over the years on Night School. And you were a guest more than once. And give everybody, Seth, your recommendations in terms of getting an introduction, because we hear that, and I could ask you, maybe you discussed this last week with John Signer when you said he was going to be on. Are signups up at Capital OTB as well?
Yeah. I mean, again, we're, the branches had to close because of the order from the governor last weekend. But like most ADWs, still online and there's a touch tone option as well at Capital OTB. And in fact, some of the easy bets, which are restaurants that are open for takeout, some of those easy bets are still open. Now, you can't sit there all day, but you can go in and fund your account, or you could pre-bet the day if you wanted to on a self-service machine. So there are options available, including online. So, yeah, the sign-up is still available. If you went to Capital OTB, there's a Join Now link, and it's pretty easy and self-explanatory how to go through. So that option is still open to people. We were kind of trying to walk people through it all last weekend because that became the option. Certainly for a lot of people who tend to go to the branch and kind of sit there with their buddies and whatnot, now they're probably watching the television show. And so these options become kind of the only ones for them. So as I say, we were walking people through. But, yeah, absolutely, people can take this chance to now do things like going to the Knight School, horseplayernow.com, and picking up on some of those archives, because those are great resources. Jeremy and you and all the guests who jumped on did a great job on a variety of subjects covering a lot of things. And you have the library. I'm not as much of a racing book guy, just because in a quirky way, I don't want to change the way I handicap necessarily and get too caught up into reading a book and going in one direction or another. But I'm not knocking that. People use them. They are great resources. And as I say, you have the library that you have a better idea. And at some point, maybe have a segment where you're talking about the books, because you can still order from Amazon and some of the other online locations. And so that would be a great way for people to get into the game and get deeper into the game. And this is a time where, you know, sitting around reading a book is not a bad way to spend some time. And so that's also an opportunity. And you too, I would say this is also an opportunity maybe to catch up on some of the history of the game. I was at the TRF, had a little event, maybe a month ago up here in Saratoga, and I stopped by and I was talking to some folks, and somebody said, "Who's your favorite racehorse?" And I said, "Forgo." And they were unfamiliar with Forgo. I said, "Go to YouTube and pick up some of the races that were carrying 137 pounds and coming out of the clouds, and you'll appreciate it." So this is a good time to go to YouTube, maybe type in horse racing and check out some of that history that you may or may not remember.
No, good suggestion. And Andy, for instance, is offering a daily poll that people are engaging. He's getting a couple thousand votes a day, and he's putting up videos like he did yesterday. He listed the four close to Travers results from the recent, you know, the recent past. We've had some crazy close Travers, including a dead heat. That was the closest Travers. I voted for Fleet Express because I loved him that day, and that was a nice pop for, you know, with Jimmy Jerkins, and of course Jimmy then, you know, came back with the dead heater VE Day, right?
Right. And what, dead heater with the Kieran horse, right?
Yeah.
And they had the two canoes.
No,
in the lake.
No, it was McPeak. It was McPeak and Kieran. It was McPeak and Kieran. Jim.
I knew it was one of the Kieran.
VE Day was because VE Day was when Jimmy ran 1-2 with Wicked Strong.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
That's right. Which was a crazy, which was an absolute crazy result. That was for Mrs. Bryant. Speaking of Mrs. Bryant, I'll reach out maybe tomorrow to Bill Gallo, and obviously the start of the steeplechase season is on hold. And as soon as things loosen up, as it happens, you know, people could probably spread out at some of the, at some of the hunt meet steeplechase opportunities, but they're waiting. And so everything is being kind of canceled as we proceed. But I'll get Bill on tomorrow and we'll get an update for the chasers. But anyway, Seth, if you didn't read things like Andy Beyer, how did you build your handicapping arsenal?
I guess I was more of a newspaper guy. I mean, when I first got into the game, Russ Harris was still handicapping for the Daily News. And that was when, you know, newspaper handicappers, which some you can still catch this type of thing in some venues. But there would be the, you know, the top three or four picks and then a couple sentences afterwards that would give you an idea of how they were looking at the race. And then there would be newspaper articles. I mean, you know, back in that day, Russ Harris had a column, I think, every couple of days. And Bill Finley had a column. Preachy had a column. And there were a number of the daily newspapers that regularly had column. I know Mike Veach and the Saratogian a couple of times a week. And this wasn't that long ago. Now I'm thinking how that world has changed as far as horse racing media. But just reading those kind of things and learning from that, and then I kind of, you know, you use that and develop your own kind of angles and favorites. And after a while, you've just developed, I think, your own experience that you kind of build on and find out what works for you and what are the angles you like and what are the types of races you like. And then, I got so deep into it, I was afraid, you know, I'll read some book and kind of veer off in some direction that may not be helpful. So I've kind of stayed away from it. But as I say, that's my weird quirk. I would not recommend that people stay away. I think the books are a great source of information. And from talking to people and talking to people like you who have delved into this and people who have glean things from those books, I've gotten great information via those people. Hey, here's an angle that this author talked about. And, you know, then you kind of look at it a little more closely and, okay, I'll give that a look. And it turns out, oh, okay, now I can incorporate that a little bit as well. So just picking a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and developing my own style over the years.
Well, Seth, did we look at Gulfstream and or Tampa?
I have the Tampa late pick four, if you want to look at that.
How'd you make out last week, by the way?
I got to the last leg, and I was I said go too deep, and it was the third horse that got in there. But it was kind of chalky anyway, to be honest. There were a couple of races where I went a little deep looking for something to happen, and it didn't. You know, the chalk got it. So, I mean, I mentioned, obviously, all four of them. But, again, I was kind of picking spots and saying I'd stick here, stick there. And that last race, as I say, I was a couple of deep in there on my strategy, and it was the horse I had in the third spot that got it done. And I will say, today's sequence, the last two races are very tough. But want to zip through it?
Absolutely. And it's a, I'll tell you what, it's a very, I haven't looked at the scratches, but this is a very nice sequence, 8 by 10 by 10 by 10.
Yeah, and there, I did catch the scratches. They're very limited in the fifth race, take out the three. I have a 4, 7, 6, and 8 Town Classic on top, and it's Gerald Bennett and Camacho, and they've just been so hot during the meet. And this one on the buyers has, you know, not necessarily an edge, but I think you combine those numbers with the potent team. I'll go in that direction. Second off the claim, I think is going to fit in a good way. General Patty in the second spot. Again, the numbers are pretty comparable with the top pick over the past few races. Comes out of a nice win against maybe a little bit lesser last time, but did it in a fashion, and it was a continuing sequence of good efforts, but did it in a fashion that puts that horse right in the mix. Santino on board, he's having a great meet. And in the third spot, my boy Lenny off some nice improving numbers. Now, it was claimed last time and claimed away from Bennett. So what's that going to mean this afternoon? I don't know, but the last one was a nice win against similar. And then Gerald Bennett also has Sacramento Q. But I may, depending on how deep I am a little bit later, I may stick with the top two, but I probably feel more comfortable using the top three. But the four and the seven probably have the edge in here. So 4, 7, 6, and 8 in the fifth at Tampa today. Moving on to the sixth. And again, these are the last two are tough, but this one is as well. In the sixth race, Maiden Specials going 1/16 on the grass. I went 6, 2, 9, and 1. Christophe Clement brings the firster by Into Mischief. I like Into Mischief win early as being a win early sire. And this one goes out for Clement, who's also a good win early guy that they elect to come over and try the Tampa company is notable. Now, I did look up the dam. Had a couple of winners, but not necessarily precocious. So that on the breeding side was a little bit of a negative, I suppose, but this just is not a field of world beaters. So idle time on top. North Dakota in the second spot, just couldn't ignore the number last time. Comes over from the other side of the state for Shug, and off of that number in the 2020 debut, had to put that one in the mix, and then Winter's Wonder in the third spot. I'd probably, like I said, this is a tough race, but I might stick with the top two. That number last time for the Shug horse kind of points at that one, but the firster from Clamott may be interesting. So I have it 6-2-9-1. Tampa's seventh. These are maiden claimers going a mile and 40. I have it 1-7-4-10. Mama, I got this on top. Again, it's one of those last out nice number kind of a situations. And, you know, it's a little bit of an aberration, but you can find a couple of things that say maybe it's perfectly in line. It's a two sprints to a two-turn race last time, which is an angle I like, but also dropped down to this level. So may have appreciated the two turns, may like this class level, so it does seem kind of logical. Silent Mischief in the second spot, ran a decent race last time on the move over from Gulfstream, and Little Guy in the third spot. There are some numbers underneath that are just can't ignore in this field. Now, this is a horse that has had plenty of opportunities and hasn't gotten it done. But again, this is not a strong field. Shift the Blame is so lightly raced, I'd probably include that. So I'd probably be tempted to go four deep in here, just because, as I say, the third-time starter, Shift the Blame, is one that, in a weak field like this, I think a fresh face, a fresher face, is certainly a contender. And again, wind up the sequence with, I think, another tough race in the eighth. As you say, nice big field. When I looked earlier, no scratches in the eighth. I have it. There are also eligibles, which hadn't been noted as scratch. I mean, I looked and saw early scratches. So there will be certainly scratches because there's an also eligible list. I have it 4, 8, 6, and 10. Calypso Key on top. The Buyer Fired last time was pretty good. It was against better. Has faced this type in the past with numbers that aren't as good. So I'm not sure if the horse maybe got pulled to that number last time. But I'll put it on top because, again, it's a tough field. You're looking for a little something. Bizmaker with Morales on board. He was on board last time when this horse dropped to a similar level and just missed. That one's kind of logical. And in between those two, I actually used a VK Legacy with Gallardo on board, who, again, was at this level last time. Ran a decent little third and picks up Gallardo today. One of those has had plenty of opportunities and hasn't gotten it done, but maybe this afternoon. And, again, a field that otherwise is fairly weak. Florida Rust also off a couple of numbers over the past few starts that fit. So maybe go a couple of deep in the first two legs, four deep in the last two legs, and hope one of those or a couple of those offer up a price. But in the eighth, they have it 4, 8, 6, and 10.
Excellent. It's a nice sequence. We're going to talk about Gulfstream with Gus after the break. So I appreciate this, Seth, and best of luck. What were the four numbers in the sixth? I didn't get that written down.
In the sixth,
the maiden special. With
I have it 6-2-9-1.
Very good. 6-2-9-1. So 4-7-6-8, 6-2-9-1, 1-7-4-10. 4-8-6-10, everybody. There we go. Seth, enjoy the day. Stay safe. Stay home. And we'll check in next week. And hopefully we'll be that much closer to getting life back to its routine.
Yeah, it is strange out there, folks. So, yeah, stay safe. Social distance. Pull up, as they say, some Netflix and a little horse racing, and we'll all make it through, hopefully. And again, hopefully it works out sooner rather than later.
Exactly. Seth Merrow, everybody, and stay tuned to that Seth Merrow Twitter feed. It's going to ignite.
Seth Merrow 2.
Seth Merrow 2, and Seth is lit, folks. There's no doubt. We'll take a break. Last of the day, and we'll come back. Gus is going to join us. We'll talk to Gus Alonso, make sure his family's okay, and We'll see what Gus thinks about this Gulfstream card today as well. So plenty of action for you between Fahner, Will Rogers, Tampa, and Gulfstream. Back after this to wrap up the busy Wednesday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horstmann, horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Destination unknown. Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races. Got about 12 minutes to noon as we close out a fast-moving Wednesday. Pete Fornital and Chris Katulak from Fahner and Sid and Hammer. Seth Merrow just now. And Gus Alonso swinging in. Bogey joining us. Bogey 1967 on your Twitter machine. And Gus, good morning. Everybody safe?
Yes. Thanks, Steve. Glad to be on.
How's the family?
Everybody's doing good. Wife is out of retirement from her teaching days. She's back homeschooling after 14 years. So it's been pretty interesting here. It seems like it's going to be like that for a little while.
How about that?
Yep.
How was she drafted back into service?
Well, now she's doing the homeschooling at home.
Right. And Tina. Yeah. I went down earlier, and Tina was on with another teacher and about six kids, and they were interacting. I'm looking forward to. I haven't actually watched the opportunity. Mostly they're doing it in the morning. So how about the kids? How are the kids holding up?
They're holding up good. You know, it's a couple of the golf courses are still open here, so we're still getting out late in the afternoon, just us, you know, doing some putting and chipping a little bit, getting some fresh air because it's difficult to keep them inside the whole time, as you can imagine. And just dealing with this as much as we can and trying to stay inside and safe.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you how the because you've got you're running the Tiger Woods School of childhood golfer. You've got them in a real practice routine.
Yeah, there's no doubt. You know, ever since we moved from Chicago down here, I mean, with the perfect weather down here, especially in the spring, and we take advantage of it. They enjoy it. So as much as they enjoy it, I go with them in late afternoons and. You know, Saturday weekends are usually mine, so other days open for golf.
Nice. Well, keep them occupied and keep them
healthy. Oh, yeah.
Gus, the golf stream resumes today, and from what I can tell from an exchange with Mike Welsh, golf stream looks like there's no issue with running, so and they'll draw for Saturday as well. What's keeping you busy? You look at this Gulfstream card?
Oh, I did. You have a late pick five and pick four. Very good. A lot of quality races. You know, usually during the week,
Yeah. It's
been kind of dicey, but today they got some nice runners. I think the sequence is nice. The weather's perfect, and I think it's worth a shot. I took a couple plays, and I'll mention some now, and I'll also post them on Derby Trail here after we get done. But nice full fields at Gulfstream, and nice competitive races. I think it's worth a shot. It starts in race six to pick five. This race here is kind of tricky, Steve. It looks like a two-horse race here with Liz Astar going to the front and Day by Day right behind him. This is the kind of race that could get a little bit out of whack. I'm also going to use the seven flat Awesome Jenny. It's going to be looking to come off the pace with Paco Lopez. I mean, he's been red hot. He had seven winners on Saturday. Sunday he had a little incident there where he was DQ'd, but you never know with Paco. And then the four-horse, Blazing Betsy. Spite Sound Mayor's coming off the bench, but I think this horse could be interesting here, at a price to start to pick five. I went four deep. Second leg is claiming 16, going a mile on the turf. One of my the three is scratch, which is a warrant officer I was looking at that runner. But I went three deep here. I'm using some of the logicals. Keepsake Kitten, and also the two, the verdict is in. And I'm also going to use the seven, Al Gorilla, Horsebrook made it on New Year's Day. I mean, you get low-profile connections here. But this horse drops here and is eligible to wake up a little bit out of price. Race eight, third leg, just went too deep here. The two fast pace, I mean, from the Brisnet point of view, the late pace, this horse has a humongous advantage, and I've learned with the last couple of years, once you see that, they usually run really good off the pace. Big advantage for the two pass, first pass, obviously one of the logical choices, but I'm going to use the price as well in the six horse, Hyde and Demon. Horse comes from Tampa, and Paco picks up the mount. I think this horse could try to steal it with fast pass, trying to nail them late in the scene in that race. The third, the fourth leg, I used a few here. Surf and Turf is my top choice, lightly raced. And I think that, they're going a mile and a half. This is pretty interesting midweek mile and a half on the turf for John Service. I'm using him on top. Also, Vegas Clinton. This horse was claimed back from Michael Maker. Might be the controlling speed with Paco, so I like that angle as well. The last race is kind of a crapshoot to me. I ended up with the seven and on top, which is Venezuelan Hug. The drop should help. And that was a solid debut, enough to improve here off that effort. The one I'm really interested in at a long price here is the 11, Metcalf, from Mexican trainer Fausto Gutierrez. I think he has a chance to really light up the tote board here. Stretches out, and it's bred pretty nice for the grass. I mean, I know the 11 hole is not exactly what you want, but I think this horse is worth inclusion here, especially if you want to blow this ticket up. Obviously, you got to use the Pletcher horse moving down from Maiden Special Weight Company down to four Band-Aid, eight to five. I mean, I'm thinking probably odds on by the time they go to post on that runner. But I'm not married to them. I'm going to use them. But I think Metcalf and Venezuelan Hog are worth inclusion as well. It's a pretty nice sequence. Also looking to see the entries here for the Florida Derby, which looks like a pretty nice race. They had to drop the price down to $750,000, but they got some nice runners there. And hopefully, fingers crossed, this is day-to-day that we continue. It continues, and we can get this race in.
What's your early read with Tis the Law and everybody lining up Independence Hall and Governor Morris and so forth?
Yeah, it looks like. Obviously going 9 furlongs on Saturday. It looks like there's a lot of speed. You know, there's a stretch out with Chavarit, as seen on TV. I mean, Independence Hall also wants to be towards the front. I think he made a little bit of a premature move in that Sam Davis. I expect him to be a little tougher. I mean, Governor Morris for Pletcher, I mean, he was a couple ticks off a track record at Tampa last time out. Horse deserves a lot of respect. But that move Tis the Law made in the Holy Bull in the far turn to go by to Indian, that was super impressive, and that's why he's one of the Derby favorites. I expect him, everything I hear and read, he seems to be doing great. They've been pointing to this race the whole time. I think he's going to be tough to beat. Underneath, I do like Ajawi. He's a deep closer. I think he can add some value. And even the horse that came second in the Fountain of Youth, Candy Tycoon for Pletcher. This is an improving type. And with the Derby pushed back, this is a horse that could be a major player come the fall.
Well, and that's going to be part of the storyline as we transition from what had been the spring lead up into what'll be a middle part of the year lead on to September. It's kind of crazed. And Gus, just about a minute or so. What'd you make of the weekend at Fairgrounds? Anything?
Yeah, I mean Wells Bayou. He went 1 3/16. He went to the front. I was really impressed with New York Traffic. That horse hung in there. And actually, that horse was kind of coming back on him at the end. That horse ran a big race for Safi Joseph. But I think it was a solid race. I really, out of that race, though, going forward, I think Major Fed, he was running against the grain pretty much. If you look at a lot of front runners stayed on top. And he made a nice move coming up the rail there. I think he's one to look at, especially when the distance is come Derby and Travers, whenever the Travers is, he's a real interesting horse coming out of that race. But I thought it was a solid race. It was well run. And New York Traffic ran a big race coming back. And the Philly race with Bonnie South coming off the pace like that, she was super impressive. I like, you've mentioned this all week with those horses coming from New Orleans, especially the fillies. I don't know what it is. It might be circumstantial, but a lot of them keep on doing well as the distances get longer and the races get tougher.
Well, and the other, the other horse that deserves, some added appreciation, I thought, coming out of Fairgrounds is Major Fed. I watched the race again yesterday, and Greg
Solid.
Foley, that was a sneaky good performance, considering virtually nobody. He was really the one making up, making up ground. I mean, everybody else, that was something to remember. Yeah, keep an eye, and he's got plenty of time.
Make note of that one.
Yeah. Well, Gus, stay safe, and for the family, and keep the kids occupied, and we'll look for you'll have the Gulfstream analysis at Brisnet on Saturday. Gus will have the whole, a 13 or 14 race card, and Gus will have the full card analysis at Brisnet.
I appreciate it, Steve. Stay safe, and as for a recommendation on the book, my number one on the list is Exotic Betting. I highly recommend that for players that are trying to get into the game. Awesome book, covers a lot.
Well, and the Steve Crist exotic wagering method, the ABCX method,
yes,
that Steve cultivated and really changed the approach to multi-race wagers by eliminating the caveman style ticket where all multiples were weighted evenly, and Steve made a quantum leap forward for players. And
no doubt.
You need a little bit of a base of understanding of the game. But absolutely, when it comes to building tickets, you can't beat exotic betting. Gus, I appreciate it. And we will we'll talk soon. And I don't know when I'm going to see you. I wish I would have seen you this winter, but we'll see you soon enough.
Sounds good, Steve. Thanks.
Gus Alonso, everybody. Bogey 1967 on your Twitter. And Gus, of course, from day one, the house handicapper at the races. I want to thank him and Seth and Hammer making his way home. And Sid Fernando, who already made his way home. Chris Katulak, who's doing yeoman's work at Fonner. And Pete Fornitzel back in Brooklyn. Good luck today, everybody. If you're playing, when Gus gets that written up, I'll put it up at our website, the Pick 5, Pick 4 Gulfstream. All right? I'll put it up at the races. Back with you tomorrow, Thursday edition. Tony and Haskin and Rich Eng and more. Stay safe. Stay healthy. Thanks.
Go killing all the bees.